Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
We want to have an election where people actually go in and what's your name? My name is so-and-so. Boom, you signed the book like I've been doing for years. It's very, very unfair to our country. If they do this, our country will be a laughingstock all over the world because everyone knows it doesn't work.
All right, so that's the president. He releases a hot opinion that goes more than viral about the election and possibly postponing it. Republicans are the first to line up and say, oh, no, Mr. President. We understand the concern, but we are not going to allow that to happen. Hey, everybody, just another day in the United States of America, and a big shout-out to everybody listening in other parts of the world. So what was said, it was the president who had an exchange with reporters where he questioned how Democrats could fret over Russian election interference while ignoring mail-in voting risk, and said that it would lead to the greatest fraud, that stupid people may not know it, and then that was the floating of potentially postponing it. And the president said, we all agree absentee voting is good. It involves citizens giving a legitimate reason before being able to vote by mail. Then he said that Democrats were hypocrites for worrying about Russia, like I said, and said that this would be the greatest mail fraud. And, and he said, he pointed to Jimmy Carter has pointed out the dangers of mail-in voting in the past. And there have been lots of reports on what would happen should there be mail-in voting. But you've got Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who said when he was interviewed on a television station in Kentucky, this election's not going to be moving. We've been through so many things. It's not moving. And there are other Republicans, like I said, that have backed up that same thing. So whether the words fixed and rigged and mail-in ballots aren't secure and it's common sense, it's pretty much 85% to 95% that November 3rd will still be the election day. And it was a perfect thing for Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee, to pounce on, because said, oh, I predicted that the president was going to try to delay the election, that he was going to try to push off the general election. And I said this in April is what he's saying. And he said on April 24th, mark my words, I think he's going to try to kick back the election somehow, come up with some rationale why it can't be held. Why it can't be held. So I don't think that the if it's a trial balloon that was being floated, if it was about getting the reaction certainly poured out of all kinds of corners on the Hill and elsewhere, but I don't believe that we're going to see an election moved. What I wonder is how much closer will we be to a vaccine? I was reading something today about AstraZeneca's CEO saying that the vaccine immunity might only last for 12 months. So it may be that you're getting a couple of different vaccines. But anyway, they're saying the immunity from that may only be that long. So you would need annual inoculations to protect you from the virus. That it won't be enough, not one, you know, one dose and that's it. And they're actually looking at two injections for the initial vaccination, and then what they know from technology and what they use with SARS-1, that the immunity could only be that year, maybe 18 months. They don't know that the virus is unpredictable and that they've got to make a lot of doses, 2 billion vaccine doses, in fact, which would be spread to various countries. The United States would get 400 million doses of it, 400 million. And, of course, it's all about whether it works. Can they start supplying the vaccine in October, November? Can you supply it at the same time around the world? Exciting if that happens. But we won't know anytime soon. It's going to take a while for those trials and to find out if they have a winner-winner. Ugh, that'd be the best. It would be the best thing to see that happen. Speaking of that, Dr. Fauci taking a few dings here and there and then getting some high fives or elbow hits, whatever you want to call them. But Fauci said, wear eye protection to block the virus if you have it. It helps slow the spread. He did an interview with ABC News, and he said, you know, if you cover your eyes in addition to your mouth and nose, because you have mucus, of course, in the nose, mucus in the mouth, and in the and you could also have it in the eye. So theoretically, you should protect all of those surfaces. If you have goggles or an eye shield, you should use it. Oh, getting in the grocery getter and going to the store would be fun, wouldn't it? Let me get my goggles. Here's the thing. If I have to wear goggles, I got them somewhere. I'll wear goggles. And I'll wear the mask. If it gets us through this and preserves our outrageous tank of the economy, because the economy is in the toilet, I'm sure you know that, but some of the worst numbers that we've ever seen, the GDP plunge, worst in our history, 32.9%. To say we are on the Titanic would be an understatement. That's the second quarter. I mean, this could be a drawn-out recovery. The steepest recession since World War II. Shrinking, 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 shrinking. And it's almost as bad as what Wall Street predicted. Market Watch had forecast 35% decline in gross domestic product. And, of course, what did we see? The recent surge in coronavirus cases in about half of the U.S. states, especially large ones like Texas, Florida, California, a blow to an already incredibly weak, fragile economy. And if you want to compare it to something, it's tough to compare because these numbers are so ugly, but previously the GDP had never shrunk by more than 10% on an annualized basis in any quarter. Did you hear that? Since the government began keeping track shortly after World War II. Wow. 34.6%. What an incredible clip. And, of course, what was the decline? Some of you might be listening to me from these areas. The decline was sharp in services, travel, tourism, medical care, eating out, all that. Businesses relying on large groups of customers, heavy store traffic. You know, that was the brunt of what we've seen. Americans bought more cars, groceries, and some other household staples with many people working from home. But clothing, gasoline, all that fell. Be honest, how many of you have worn the same three outfits week after week after week? I'm just kidding. Hopefully you have some sweats, some new sweats that you can put on. It's very strange what's happened to people and very sad for all of us, right? Because we want to get out of this. We want to shake things up. We want to shake it off big time. Hal, listening to us in Nevada, says, Kate, did you hear the story about the two planes colliding? One of the saddest things I've ever heard. Tell us more. I do know the story, and I will on the flip side.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Hey, if you feel like throwing up in the mailroom, go for it. Nobody can see you. It's virtual anyway, right? How many people have been dancing, I mean, in their own home, since this whole thing started? Hopefully a lot of you, because really, who cares? Live it up, right? We only have today. Who knows what tomorrow brings? It's the truth. So there you go. Remember, you can flip me an email 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. So Hal asked about the two planes and what was the deal with the crash. The two pilots died, and it was two single-engine planes. Sad story, because they were helping. They were trying to contain a fire in Nevada, and the Bishop Fire in Nevada, they're calling it. I live near Bishop Arts. That's why that made me think of that. But the FAA says that the two single-engine air tractor AT-AT planes, you've seen them before if you've looked up and seen a fire, they were sent to help. And this was about 17 miles southwest of Caliente. And I saw some of the overhead views of a sad thing there, where they didn't release a lot of the details, but apparently they didn't see each other and they crashed. It was a midair crash, and here they were just, you know, again trying to help out, and they both died. So you got these air tankers. This is a 500-acre wildfire in southeastern Nevada, by the way, and that's a shame, obviously. All right, so we now jump to this. Herman Cain. I got a lot of emails about Herman Cain. I'll give you a couple of them. This one is from Joe, listening to us in Portland. He says, "Kate, we have our problems in Portland. Oh, please, God, we'll clear that up and out." But Herman Cain was on my mind, that it's very sad that he died from complications from the coronavirus. He was in Tulsa. I don't think they really know that Tulsa was where he got it. There were other exposures perhaps to it, who knows, but he was pretty healthy and he was in a high risk group, but sad that he fought it and it took a month and it just could not come out of it, and that led to his death. And it kind of took a lot of people by surprise. I was surprised when I heard that. Yeah, I was surprised too. I forget where it was. It was the morning, and I was listening to something locally, And I heard that, you know, he's 74 and he was it. I mean, that he died after this battle with COVID. And, you know, it's interesting. He was at that rally in Tulsa, yes, at the end of June. He didn't wear a mask. He did post a picture of himself and other people in close proximity and without wearing masks. There was a group of people, you know, with him. So was it there? Was it someplace else? He quarantined, of course, after that, after finding out, and was pretty sick. And he was being treated with oxygen, and it looked like he was getting better. I mean, that's what's so wicked about this virus. I mean, it was just earlier in the week that there was an update on the website about his website about him, and it said that he was being treated with oxygen, but again, his organs were super strong, and he's really getting better when it means it's working. That's what the Post said. So certainly the best to his family, and just kind of sad, shocking news that he was a very close friend of the president's, and he was somebody who ran for president and got people excited and had a little bit of a chance at that. There were a lot of people that were pulling for, you know, pulling for him, and a shock, except for people super close, I guess, that knew exactly what was going on. And maybe he was fine in the beginning of the week, because we've heard those stories before, and then it rapidly declined. This one from Michael, who's listening to us in New Orleans, and Michael says, Kate, I wish you could come down and have some crawdads with us, but people feel like crawling into a hole on some days. I think it's that roller coaster that you've talked about before, and hearing about the GDP was a shocker. We knew it was going to be ugly, but how ugly? The worst ever in our history? Ooh, because so many businesses have had to shut down. Some of my friends in the Big Easy have had to call it quits because there's just no way they can afford to stay open. It's the rents, it's everything else in between, and the lack of customers and being able to do what they do so well. Yeah, 32.9% in quarter two. So he's right. The shutdowns, the contraction of the economy was clear that you know, people aren't buying some of the clothes, they're not eating out, they're not doing some of what they would normally do, so it's got to be rough. Some are somehow riding this out, and others are really struggling with it or coming up with other things that they can do, clever ways to try to combat that. It's not making up all the income, but trying to think of, in this tumultuous time, what can they do? I mean, every corner of the economy was smashed. Business investment, housing, trade, government outlays, tourism. I've talked about that before. You know, think of the industry, and I guarantee something has triggered for sure in it. You know, you look at Hawaii. I just talked about Nevada and that fire, but you look at Nevada, they were hit so hard by it. Think of even like Reno, Nevada. Think of Las Vegas. Think of everything in between and what that means. And now with these you know, outbreaks, that's certainly not helping the situation any. All right, this one is from Jake, who's a frequent listener. I think he's been with me for a decade. And Jake says, Kate, tell me something good. Tell me something good. I am so tired of ugly, depressing news that just drags us all down. Not that I want to have blinders on my eyes, but what is happy and fun? And what is it that you're doing to thrive during the pandemic? You want my secret? You want my how to deal your own destiny, like I say in my book? How do you reimagine this thing? How do you increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary? Well, I mean, here's the thing. When there is an incredible crisis, if you flip that mind, if you flip that mind switch and you just focus on what you're trying to do, I know it's hard. I mean, it's easy to say that, but getting through to the other side is tougher. That's when opportunity, a lot of times that's when the best opportunity comes in. Something incredible happens, something turns, somebody goes in a direction they never thought they could do. Because now we're seeing a lot of people that are running startups or trying to come up with creative ways to make money, to do whatever it is they have to do. And sometimes that turns into some amazing businesses. And again, we're already seeing that. All right. Here's one. Speaking of Vegas, this one is from Mackenzie. Hi, Kate. I think you used to broadcast from Las Vegas. I think that's cool. I've heard you talk about the city and going to various lounges and what comps were like and all of that, and you'd be very sad to see the city of Las Vegas now. And another fatal blow, the fact that the CES show is going to be held online for free for the most part, and it's not going to be back till 2021. That is a lot of dollars, millions and millions of dollars for lots of people. So the Las Vegas Convention Center is at a loss without this, I can only imagine. Yeah, I mean, it's huge. The most large-scale trade shows, though, have been canceled this year. Yet the you had Apple canceling something, Facebook, Google, of course, all of that. So the Consumer Technology Association says they're moving most of the CES online. I said that already, and how most of it's free, but how very sad, right? But this is what everybody's dealing with. So nobody's immune to it. They're not immune to it. And so many of the shows for 2020 canceled. So now you think of all the aspects of what that would mean in the meetings industry. And of course, it spells disaster is what it spells. It's the first time, you look at CES, it's the first time since they've done the show. They launched it in 1967. And they kept saying, we're going to go on with the show no matter what. We're going to do it. And then the resurgence of the coronavirus, you just have to have a think. You just have to get people to think. Because imagine the amount of people that could possibly come away with something. You know, you're talking about 175,000 people annually. Usually that's what they get. But what a hit. Can't collect booth rental money, sponsorship money. It's just gone. Just completely gone. But that's where a lot of new products get introduced, and there's always big, big excitement over what happens at CES. So again, this is a huge blow. Coming up on the show, when we go to Author's Corner, that part of the show, we're going to talk to R.D. Shaw, and he is outside of London, and he's got a great story. I'm a huge fan of, like, Michael Crichton. I'm a huge fan of, what are my favorite books? Vince Flynn. I was just thinking I read all the Vince Flynn books, so you get it. Espionage, thrillers, that kind of thing. And that's what he specializes in. He's having great success. He's got some more books coming out, but we're going to talk specifically about one book. Pay attention, because I think this book is really a page-turner. I'll meet you on the other side.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
While deaths from the coronavirus in the United States are mounting rapidly, public health experts are seeing a flicker of good news as the second surge of confirmed cases appears to be leveling off. Scientists aren't celebrating by any means, warning that the trend is driven by four big hard-hit places, Arizona, California, Florida, and Texas, and that cases are rising in close to 30 states overall, with the outbreak center of gravity seemingly shifting from the Sun Belt toward the Midwest. It's not clear when deaths will start coming down. COVID-19 deaths do not move in perfect lockstep with the infection curve for the simple reason that it can take weeks to get sick and then die from the virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci said, "I think it's very difficult to predict the future." The virus has claimed over 150,000 lives in the United States, by far the highest death toll in the world, plus more than 500,000 others around the globe. This is USA Radio News. As major cities are announcing their schooling decisions for the upcoming year, Washington, D.C. has added theirs by saying public schools will begin the year virtually on August 31st, according to Mayor Muriel Bowser. Bowser seemed to allude to the teachers' union unwillingness to return to the classroom as a factor in her decision, and she said, "You know, I'm going to speak candidly. If we don't have teachers who want to come in person, we'll have to find another set of adults who will." Herman Cain, the former presidential candidate and former CEO of Godfather's Pizza, has died from coronavirus. He tested positive for COVID-19 on June 29th and was hospitalized July 1st after developing symptoms. Cain was a co-chair for the Black Voices for Trump, and his last public appearance was at President Trump's June rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Cain was also battling stage 4 colon cancer, and at the age of 74 was considered an increased risk for the coronavirus, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
I think it was fate that I am interviewing R.D. Shaw, because he's written a book called Relics. You can get it on Amazon. Some secrets should stay hidden. Ooh. And I found out when we had a conversation off the air that he is a fan of every single writer that I am a fan of, and we probably have written, or have read rather, all the same books, and where we've been sucked into the plot, there are thrillers, and his book is like that. You cannot put it down. I would say if you get this, you curl up somewhere, you get yourself a drink, or a non-alcoholic or alcoholic or tea or whatever, and plan to sit there for a very long time. RD, thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to meet you.
Let's talk about what was the inspiration for you writing this book. How did it come about?
Well, I'd never written a book before, Kate. And basically, I was walking one day in Middle England, and I've never really had a kind of bolt of the blue, as you hear people talk about, but this was as close to it as I've ever had. And I just realized that I wanted to write. And I went back home, spent about 4 or 5 days kind of thinking about it, and the book I'd really like to write, what kind of style. And the outcome of that was my first book, which was Relics.
And in order to come up with the plot and how you pulled this all together, you know, there's historical fact in it. So you had to do some research with this. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I realized that I wanted to write, which suited me, very fast-paced thrillers. But I was very interested in mixing fact with fiction. And so I started to do a lot of research. I should say also, you know, I mean, the writers I loved to read, guys like Michael Crichton, Frederick Forsyth, Dan Brown, and I basically, I was reading, I think the last book was a Dan Brown book, which was Angels and Demons. And this is about 4 or 5 years ago. And my eyes were kind of opened up to the idea of the Vatican, which I never really thought of as a subject before. And I suddenly thought, yeah, I'd like to look into that. Just research, which is what I did. And I spent, you know, probably about three months just researching the Vatican and everything connected with it and historical, the history behind it. And I started then to create a story, which was a fiction story, a fast-paced thriller, which was in part, I won't give it away, but in part linked to events that happened at the Vatican.
Wow. I can just see what that would be like, that research and then coming up with the twists and what happens in the book and how you come out of it at the end. Was that part really fun? Once you get down the research you needed and you start to think about the characters and you start to think about where you're taking them, and I can tell you're passionate about this and it's clear in your writing. Did the characters just kind of flow through you?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's strange. I found, and remember, this was my first book, so I'd never written before. So it was my first chance. And what I found is it's just as much fun going through it and kind of discovering the story as you go, as if I'm reading a book or watching a movie. And what I found is that, you know, I had a rough idea, sense of where I was going, but one of the most exhilarating moments, and they are fun, if you like writing, and I do, I love it, is actually discovering the story that you knew was in your mind, but you just weren't quite sure what it was. It's kind of like a ticker tape of ideas in your head, and you know they're there, but you just haven't discovered them yet. And you know, as you piece it together, and it becomes a full story, it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun to write. It was a lot of fun to write.
And we're speaking with R.D. Shaw. He's in our virtual green room, joining us from England. And the book is, again, Relics, Some Secrets Should Stay Hidden, very easy to find on Amazon or any place where great books are sold. We're talking about his thriller, his novel, his first one, where it seems like he's written 4 or 5. I got to be honest about that. What do you hope that the reader takes away from reading your novel?
I think, firstly, one thing I try and do, and I really want my readers to take away, is firstly that they can kind of, you know, just for a couple of hours a day, just slip away from everyday life, their life, and just slip into a bit of fantasy. And the one thing I love about writing these books is it's fantasy, which is fun. You know, it's like watching a movie for a couple of hours. You can just disappear, you know, just for a few hours, get away from everything. But also, I love that. I love the idea of historical fact, and you know, it's the old adage of, you know, history is written by the victors, by the winners. There's a lot of history which goes unwritten, but if you can, research, if you can really find some of the stories that have been lost to history, it's fascinating. I think as a reader, when you're not only mixing that thriller element, you know, that suspense, thriller, page-turning kind of books, which I try to write, with also truth. It just gives it an added weight. And again, that's what I'm really trying to do, is really trying to, not to think about things, but just to get away from their lives for a few hours at a time and just, get into a different world, basically. And that's what I try to do at any rate.
And so having done this one, I can only imagine that we're going to see many more novels pour out of you. Are you working on something now? Are you thinking about a couple of different topics, perhaps, or moments in history that you could weave into your next novels?
Yeah, well, I have to say, this one was, you know, I started this one, like I said, on my own. I'd never written before, and it was just a one-off. And then I didn't have a publisher, so I just published it online. Anyone? And it just got picked up with Amazon. And suddenly, you know, the first couple of days were pretty slow. I had a couple of books sold, all digitally. And then suddenly, after about a week, it just took off. And I think, I got down remarkably, it was astounding to me. Within a month and a half, I think it was down in the top 20 of all books sold. And this is just some guy who's never written a book before. And so it was a real wake up call. And so I decided then, the main character had a guy called Alex Harker, who is an archaeologist, Cambridge University, and gets pulled in. A very ordinary guy, smart guy, very capable. The guy that just gets pulled into a very shadowy world. Again, history, fact mixed with fiction. And I just found that after that first one, I thought I'd write a second one. And then I was approached by publishers, real publishers down in London, Canelo Publishing, and they basically took me on. I got 3 books with them. And I'm just about to start writing a 6th. Just brought them all out in paperback, and they're just about to come out in audio books as well. And basically, they've asked me to do another series, which is unconnected with this as well as a Harker. Something right now I'm literally putting together, but I'm still trying to decide where. I'm not quite sure. I don't want to give anything away because I don't want to say that I'm going to do it and then change my mind. a great habit of doing that. If you suddenly come up with a better idea, anything, actually, that would work. That wouldn't. So, but yeah, at the moment, they want me to do another 3 books, but separate from what is called the Harker Chronicles, which became the Harker Chronicles.
Right, right. And the Harker Chronicles, I already said this, of course, you really get pulled into what's happening, and I think that's because of the research, it's because of your chops as a storyteller, and obviously they saw that, and you're just, it's following your passion and not realizing it. And you called it, you said, you know, it was that bolt that suddenly hit you from out of the blue, and aren't you glad that happened? Because like so many of us, you were a jack of all trades, and you did all kinds of things in your lifetime. But did you ever think you would be a writer, a novelist?
I got to say no. Simple answer, no. I was very fortunate. I had a good education. Was a terrible student, but I was very fortunate that I got to do a lot of traveling. And that really opened my eyes to just the atmosphere, meeting people, different cultures. But I never thought I was going to be a writer. I actually spent, about 4 years over in the States, at University of Miami. I was fortunate enough to go there. And, all this traveling just gave me, I think, a really good foundation to be a writer, even though I didn't realize I wanted to be a writer at the time. But it's very much like, to be a writer, I'm a big believer in it. Unless you want to do something like, be a rocket scientist or a doctor or a profession which is going to take many years of training, I'm a big believer in anyone can do anything they want if you have the will and if you have the belief in yourself. And for a lot of years, I found I was really, if I'm honest, quite directionless, which is very frustrating. Anyone who's ever, and I'm sure there are people out there, like, if you feel directionless, you know you've got something to give. It's a very frustrating situation to be in because you just feel like you could do so much more if you just knew what you wanted to do. So the fact that I had that bolt from the blue, I think what alcoholics call a moment of clarity. it was just a godsend, and luckily I acted upon it. A lot of times, you'll have ideas and you don't really follow through, and maybe because you're fearful, you're worried, you can't make it, you're not good enough. But the truth is, people, unless you give it a try, you'd be surprised what you are capable of.
Yeah, I love it. That's a perfect place to end this. We are capable of so much more, and thank goodness you found what you were really, really good at. The book is called Relics, Some Secrets Should Stay Hidden. R.D. Shaw, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Argo Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
That PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, was founded 40 years ago. And would you believe we have the founder of PETA on with us, Ingrid Newkirk. She's written this book that I could not put down. I'm blaming her for my lack of sleep, called Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and Revolutionary New Ways to Show Them Compassion. And she's done that with best-selling author Jean Stone. So, Ingrid, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure entirely, as it was my pleasure to write that book.
Yeah, and it's a great book. So let's jump right into this so the listeners know. Tell us, give us the overview. Tell us about your book, Animal Kind.
Well, it's divided into two parts. The first section is all about how amazing, jaw-droppingly amazing and talented and intelligent and emotional animals are. So it's full of stories, a about animals who travel maybe 5,000 miles in winter to spend the time in the sun in South Africa and come all the way back to a little town, the same nest that they've had for years, every single year like clockwork. And they get there by reading the Earth's magnetic field or by picking up low-frequency radio waves. We didn't even know there were radio waves just about 100 years ago. They can read the position of the stars, and so can your dog at home, and so can cows when they go out to graze. So the first part is about what good partners they are, their love, their grief, everything else. The second part is knowing who animals are, that we are really linked, not ranked, that we all have intelligences of different kinds and abilities of different kinds. If you care about them, there are so many different ways that you can stop harming them inadvertently, unwittingly, and you can very positively use the power that you have as a consumer to guide companies to make better decisions so that they don't hurt animals.
Oh, and that's so important, and I'm going to come back to that, but I want to ask you, because you talked about this, what we don't know about animals, and here's something interesting that I found out from your book. Dolphins, don't forget that dolphins' memories are so good. You know, they say people, oh, you have a memory like an elephant. Dolphins' memories are incredible, and it turns out, and you talk about this in your book, that there is a study that was done in the journal Proceedings of the Royal Society B that showed that dolphins can actually recognize the whistles of others they haven't seen in 20 years. That's incredible.
Oh, it's amazing. And the reason that they have whistles, I mean, they communicate in whistles, yes, and they communicate with sonar, which is what makes it so heartbreaking when you have a place like SeaWorld that shoved a dolphin into what's basically a cement cage at the water. I mean, they need to use that sonar and travel. But dolphins give their babies a unique whistle name when they're born, and those dolphins answer to that name throughout their entire lives. So if for some reason and a dolphin goes off somewhere or disappears, and they find that dolphin 5 years, 10 years, as you said, 20 years later, they hear that whistle, they know exactly who that individual is.
Wow. I mean, again, just fascinating. And that's the idea in the book, like you said, in two different parts. Another thing that you talk about, and I always wonder this with my dog. I have a brand new puppy, Guinness, and he just wants to play all the time. But we understand that energy, right? We understand the energy of the golden retriever. But then you talk in your book about just play in general, that this is it in the animal kingdom. And it's universal that the most common theory is that animals play to develop survival skills. Wow. I had no idea. Tell us more about that.
Well, they do. I mean, it's a wonderful lesson that they get. They know how hard to bite if they're playing with their brother or their sister. And they know, you know, if mother is doing something, she teaches them in these wonderful ways. But we just had a study out that's fascinating about how juvenile dogs misbehave in the same way they push the boundaries, in the same way that human juveniles do with their own parents. So when you've got a puppy and the puppy grows up for a while and then they go through this phase of being a juvenile and they just want to be naughty, and sometimes they're really punished for it and they're told down and sit and stop chewing this, but it really is the same as if you have a teenager in the house. But dogs are fascinating because dogs are so clever. You know, the average dog in your home knows 300 words without being taught one, and we know not one word of dog, so we shouldn't feel too superior. And they've got to do that because they have to pay attention to us. I mean, we're in charge of everything. If they get a drink of water or they even go out to relieve themselves, it depends on us. So they watch us like a hawk, and they know what we want, what we're thinking, and then they try to get our attention. They bring the leash. They put the paw on your knee. They bring the water bowl. They jump on the bed and say, I've got to go out. They scratch at the door. They bark to say, you can't hear it, Mom, but there's someone coming towards the door, and I'm giving you a warning. So they shouldn't be told, sit, you know, be quiet, down. Dogs dig, dogs bark. They need a little bit of freedom there.
Wow, so that's good. You're sticking up for Guinness. He'll love that. is called Animal Kind: Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and Revolutionary New Ways to Show Them Compassion. We're speaking with the author and PETA founder, Ingrid Newkirk. And Ingrid, you talk about and you say how you separate the book about cosmetics and product testing without animals. Has that gotten better?
Oh, yes. I mean, when we started 40 years ago, you basically had to take a bottle to a co-op if you wanted a cruelty-free shampoo. It was really bad. We've got 4,400 companies now, big ones, small ones, you name it, that don't test their products by putting them in a rabbit's eye or something like that, and don't have animal ingredients. You know, a lot of these companies used to use, and some still do, slaughterhouse products. They'll use placenta and this thing called hydrolyzed animal protein. If you look at the label, you know, you don't want that. Who wants to put that on their face or in their hair? So, yes, it's got a lot better. Testing is a lot better. Almost no company now sells or designs fur, which was a status symbol when we were starting, and now, you know, people say I wouldn't be seen dead in that stuff. So lots of things are changing. We've got vegan foods galore. You can get something that's vegan that tastes like something that wasn't, that you liked, like me growing up with so many meat things in my diet. And you can go to the store and for 10 minutes you can stare at the plant-based milk from soy to macadamia to almond to rice, you name it. It's a wonder of choices we have now. We just need to make them.
And seeing that happen and the evolution of that, that has to be exciting for you. As I mentioned, 40 years, four decades, it has to feel pretty incredible to see what's happened.
It is, and there are many big things, too. I mean, we stopped car crash tests on animals. They used to slam baboons and pigs into a wall to see what the impact was on the steering wheel and the person. And, you know, now you see the car crash dummies. That's because PETA stopped those tests all over the world. So there are many, many things that have changed. There are many more things that need to change. And it's why I'm so grateful that people's eyes and their hearts and their minds are open to animals now. Many, many more people. Most people aren't trophy hunters. You know, they do care. And they have a dog at home and they're beginning to understand the love and the importance of that animal. So we need everybody to chip in. And writing the book was a great joy because I was able to learn things I didn't know about animals, too, and able to pack in the facts of what you can do. And some lovely stories, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll finish on this one because we are living in a virtual reality right now. But virtual reality works for animals, doesn't it? We're seeing that a lot with zoos and whatnot.
Oh, we absolutely are. I mean, you remember the old days of Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, dragging the elephants through town, and there would be some ringmaster who would make them stand on their head and wear a stupid headdress, and then they'd get chained up behind the big top. We don't need the roadside zoos. We don't need these old-fashioned circuses where wildlife is just something you dominate. We have virtual reality, and today you can dive into the deep sea on virtual reality and actually swim with dolphins in the open ocean. And you can go with elephants or bears or tigers into the jungle, and you can experience so many wonderful things up close and personal with animals without ever harming a hair on an animal's head. I adore virtual reality. And we've seen in many of these shows now that it's taking over. So we need to just patronize the right things.
There you go. Perfect place to end this. Ingrid Newkirk, what a delight to have you on. Pick up the book, Animal Kind, Remarkable Discoveries About Animals and Revolutionary New Ways to Show Them Compassion. Thank you.
Thank you.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.